Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel on YouTube. First on the docket today, another delay in the Chad DeBell matter. Second, the launch of the Tammy DeBell Foundation. Third, CNN's legal analyst suspended. Fourth, the co-defendant in the Photo Doulos matter makes bond. Fifth, Danny Masterson's case moves forward. The judge rejects their statute of limitations argument. Six, Ghislaine Maxwell's 2016 deposition is being released. Seventh, one of the benefits of online school is that the teacher can call the police. Eight, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, we'd ask that you first hit that subscribe button, then go over and hit that little bell so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. And as always, leave us a comment below. We are going live tonight. It is our Tuesday night live, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and we will be on both YouTube and Facebook this evening. And right after that, we will be going to our Patreon live as well. So if you haven't signed up to be a Patreon member, do so tonight so you can get that link where you can participate. All right, let's get straight to the docket. First, another delay in the Chad DeBell matter. As you may recall, the motions hearing in the Chad DeBell matter was set for October 29th. That was the motion on the motion to dismiss filed by Chad DeBell's attorney, Mr. John Pryor. I actually thought that we would probably go to this particular hearing since Mr. Pryor's actually been the one who seems to require the least amount of adult supervision when he is in court. The basis for the motion is that the parties had just received the transcript from the preliminary hearing, and that needs to be reviewed and prepare legal arguments and draft their motion. Now, certainly they had their notes. They can certainly go watch it here on Crime Talk because we put the entire preliminary hearing up. So now I guess he just needs the transcript to make references to the court for any appellate record. Needless to say, the court has granted the stipulated motion and the new hearing date for Chad DeBell is now November 24th, 2020 at 9 a.m. Please join us because we'll be there for sure. Next on the docket, the family of Tammy DeBell, minus Chad DeBell, have started the Tammy DeBell Foundation. Tammy's siblings and parents announced the creation of the Tammy Douglas DeBell Foundation to honor her legacy of service and love of literacy. This is going to be a 501c3 organization, and it is to give children the opportunity to love the written word. For those who do not recall the specifics as it relates to Tammy DeBell, the Fremont County Sheriff deputies were called to Tammy and Chad DeBell's home on October 19th of 2019. Chad said that Tammy went to bed coughing and he discovered that she had died in her sleep. Now, the 49-year-old mother of five had been in good health and was actually training for a marathon. Now, Tammy previously had advised her siblings and parents 2 weeks earlier when she was visiting them in Springfield, Utah, that she was fine and showed no signs of sickness whatsoever. And of course, within weeks of Tammy DeBell's death, Chad married Lori Vallow, and a massive investigation involving multiple law enforcement agencies was launched into her death, along with the death of Lori Vallow's husband, Charles Vallow, and her two missing children, Joshua, JJ, Vallow, and Tylee Ryan. Tammy's body was actually exhumed in December, and the Idaho Attorney General's office is investigating Chad and Lori for conspiracy, attempted murder, and murder in connection with the death. Scott Graff, a spokesman for the Attorney General's office, states that the investigation is ongoing and the autopsy results still have not been released. Tammy was a librarian at a local elementary school as well as a middle school. She apparently loved reading and she loved to serve others, which is why the family set up the foundation. Needless to say, I don't think Chad Daybell is going to be on the board of the foundation at all. Next on the docket, CNN's legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin has been suspended. Why, you may ask? Well, apparently he was on a Zoom call and apparently, allegedly, he may have been on another call and he didn't know that he was still on the original Zoom call with his colleagues, whereupon, that's right, Mr. Toobin was seen pleasuring himself while he was supposedly supposed to be in a 10-minute strategy session preparing with his colleagues with CNN. It is alleged that the group returned from some breakout rooms. Toobin lowered the camera, and what the people could see was that Toobin was, in fact, pleasuring himself. He immediately left the call and moments later called back in, seemingly unaware of what his colleagues had been able to see, and the simulation continued. Mr. Toobin, one of CNN's biggest stars and obviously their legal analyst, offered an apology for, quote, an embarrassingly stupid mistake, and explained or attempted to explain what led to the incident. He states, quote, I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers in the statement. He believed that it was not visible on Zoom, and I thought that no one on the Zoom call could see me. I thought I had muted the Zoom call as well. Well, Mr. Toobin, I guess everyone's entitled to one mistake, but one thing I've never done on a Zoom call, well, has been caught doing what you've been doing. Oh my gosh, really? CNN, you need a new legal analyst? Call me. Next on the docket, do you remember the Fotos Doulos case? That's right. Fotos Doulos is now deceased, but he was charged with the death of his wife. Now, his girlfriend, Michelle Traconis, is still charged, along with his lawyer. Kent Mwahini has remained in custody until yesterday when he was released after the court finally reduced his bond so that he could actually go and visit his sick father in Florida. Now, Mwahini has pled not guilty to the conspiracy to commit murder charge and obviously was being held in the jail prior to his $2 million bond being set, was reduced just as of yesterday. Now, Mwahini was the civil lawyer for Jennifer's estranged husband, Fotos Doulos, before she vanished in May of 2019. Jennifer's body has not been found, but blood evidence led prosecutors to charge Fotos Doulos with her death. And the luxury home builder was caught on surveillance video, ditching bloodstained items and other evidence the night his wife went missing. Now, of course, Fotos Doulos completely denied doing anything wrong, and in his efforts to maintain his innocence, attempted to commit suicide, failed miserably at that, went to the hospital. Ultimately, life support was terminated for Fotos Doulos. Arrest warrant paperwork, which has previously been released in the case, describes Mwahini as a friend who was at Fotos' home office for a meeting the morning of May 24th, 2019, around the same time Jennifer disappeared, amid the couple's bitter divorce and custody battle. Police claim the lawyer initially denied attending the prearranged meeting and also claimed he had no contact whatsoever with Fotos that day. He later changed his story and admitted to the scheduled meeting, but said he simply couldn't remember speaking with Fotos by phone, despite records showing contact. Mulhaney has been vague and claimed he suffered a concussion after falling downstairs on May 25th. Mulhaney had to be fitted for a new piece of jewelry, also known as an ankle monitor, before leaving jail. So obviously the authorities will know where he is, and maybe when he's down in Florida, whether he makes a dash for somewhere else. We'll wait and see if he returns. Before we go to our next item on the docket, let's take a quick recess. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for your background subscription service. You'll be glad you did. When you sign up, you can anonymously search as many people as you want. And guess what? That search is done while you wait on the computer. It only takes a few minutes. Literally, millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. That report is going to contain information regarding emails, phone numbers, and social media associated with the person that you are searching. Additionally, it's going to have property records. It's going to have bankruptcy records. It's going to have criminal history records, including sex offender registration requirements. Now, I'm telling you, we use this in our law firm on a daily basis when doing background checks on witnesses. You'll be surprised. Sometimes it's very thin, not a whole lot of information. Sometimes the report can literally be 60 pages long. The point is, you never know what you're going to get or find until you run the search. So go to crimetalksearch.com. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, Danny Masterson. You remember him from That 70s Show. He was charged, arrested, and is facing a now potential trial related to allegations of sexual assault. A Los Angeles County judge has ruled that the case will in fact move forward. Mr. Masterson has denied the allegations, where he is alleged to, in separate incidents in 2001 and 2003, sexually assaulted women. Masterson's attorneys argued that the case should be thrown out because if the allegations, if you were to believe them as true, are beyond the statute of limitations. So, quick summary here. The statute of limitations exists in almost every case. Few exceptions, for example, murder. Murder has no statute of limitations in most cases, but most cases, whether it's in state courts, is usually 3, in federal court, 5 years. That's a general rule. You have to always check the statutes as it relates to a particular case. For example, here in Colorado, forgeries have no statute of limitations. Well, that makes complete sense. You don't want people going off forging documents and 5 years later find that they somehow now own a house that they forged the documents to. So there is no statute of limitations as it relates to charges like that. Now, sexual offenses, a lot of statute of limitations have been changed over the years to extend those statute of limitations, whereas in many states, there is no statute of limitations. If the event did allegedly occur and it is beyond the statute of limitations, say, for example, 5 years, the case is dismissed. It has to be dismissed as a matter of law. The court rejected the argument of Mr. Masterson, and now his case is set for an arraignment, and that will be on November 2nd. The judge rejected motions filed by the defense to keep the press out of the courtroom. Now, obviously, courtrooms need to be an open and public hearing. That's what separates our legal system from a lot of other systems where things are done in a back room. And you can't keep the press out just because you don't like the story that's coming out. It's called the truth. And that's what the press should always be interested in, is the truth. Don't pick a side. Just present the facts and the law the way it should be. That's what we try to do here at Crime Talk. Here's the facts. Here's the law. Let the chips fall where they may. Next on the docket, Ghislaine Maxwell. That's right. An appellate court has ordered that the 2016 deposition that she gave in the civil case related to her boyfriend, that guy named Jeff, has to be released. Now, Ghislaine Maxwell is not happy about that at all, because the argument that her counsel made was that her chance to a fair trial in this criminal case would be irreparably harmed if her April 2016 deposition was made public. Her lawyers argued the material included intrusive questioning about her sex life and that she had answered based on her expectation of confidentiality, and that its disclosure would forever let the cat out of the bag. In July, U.S. District Court Judge Loretta Preska ordered the 418-page transcript unsealed. It's the only substantive public record from Maxwell about what she did for her boyfriend at the time, a guy named Jeff. Prosecutors alleged she lied 9 times in the deposition when she denied knowledge of her boyfriend Jeff's activities, including his recruitment of underage girls and his interactions with underage women. Maxwell lawyers contend that the deposition included questions about consensual and intimate conduct, and that disclosing that testimony could prejudice a jury in her criminal case. An attorney for Maxwell told the appeals court The deposition included suggestive questions, he said, that were akin to the old, quote, when did you stop beating your wife, end quote, questions. In a separate decision, Maxwell also lost her challenge to a ruling by U.S. District Court Judge Allison Nathan, who said she couldn't use evidence she obtained from her pending criminal case in civil suits brought against her. Federal prosecutors argued to that court that the disclosure of the evidence could affect an ongoing federal grand jury investigation into Epstein's alleged co-conspirators. Now, wouldn't we all like to know who's on that list? Well, we'll continue to follow that. Ms. Maxwell has some very fine attorneys. Her lead attorney on that civil matter is a lawyer here from Denver, who is very, very smart. We'll see how things continue to go for Ms. Maxwell and whether she ultimately cuts a deal with the government. I would think in an ongoing investigation with alleged co-conspirators, she can knock off a lot of time if she said who else was involved. Now, for those of you who have been keeping score at home, let's make sure we're all square. That's right. Today is 110 days and specifically 9 hours that Ghislaine Maxwell has been in custody and she has not been suicided. That's right. That's right. The watch continues. Next on the docket, one of the benefits of online or remote learning these days is apparently the fact that teachers can report crimes that are taking place. A California teacher by the name of Jennifer Peterson was apparently logging off from the class that she was leading. And she apparently waits until every child logs off before disconnecting. Before she logged off, she noticed that a couple of students who were apparently residing together, their facial expressions went from concern to actual panic. It turned out that a gentleman by the name of Luis Dulay entered the home through the window and fled the home through the back door. He apparently was there to burglarize the residence. But the teacher contacted the police and ultimately Mr. Dulay was arrested. So just add that to the list of teacher duties. They can now not only be the teachers, video editors, but they can also be home security monitors as well. Perhaps they could get a job at YouTube reviewing demonetization requests. Here it's a big thing and they can certainly use the extra help. Now next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Please meet Melinda Lynn Guerrero. She was arrested the other evening for refusing to leave a mobile gas station in St. Petersburg, Florida. And when the police arrived, she also refused to give her name. That's right. When asked repeatedly by the police officers what her name was, she simply said, quote, my name is my butt just farted, end quote. Now, officers were ultimately able to identify Ms. Guerrero as the accused trespasser, likely due to the fact that her photo and fingerprints are on file in connection with a series of arrests over the last several years. Also, Ms. Guerrero has Guerrero tattooed on her back, which is certainly an identifying feature. One of the things you want to do when it comes to identification is not have things that identify you that no one else would have. It's kind of a dead giveaway when the police have to prove identity, which we've talked about several times before on Crime Talk. Ultimately, Ms. Guerrero was charged with trespassing and a false name to law enforcement. Both are misdemeanor charges. She was released on a personal recognizance bond. But Ms. Guerrero, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. If you don't want to give your name, don't give your name, but don't lie. Why? It brings on more charges. And little legal tip, if you don't want to give your name, certainly don't give somebody else's name that's going to get them in trouble because that creates even more trouble for you. Normally, it's a criminal impersonation or attempting to influence a public official, which would in fact be a felony. Thanks for watching today. Please join us this evening when we go live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time on both YouTube and Facebook. And immediately following that, we will do our Patreon live where you can actually call in and talk to me. And we will have the special feature of the Magic 8 Ball. Thanks for watching. We'll see you tonight when we go live. Have a great day.